You're listening to Buy the Book, brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. The book that we examine today is a Toby Press book. Toby Press is an imprint of Koren Publishers. The book written by the late Ernst Israel Bornstein. It is called The Long Night, A True Story, originally done in Yiddish, now available through our friends at Toby Press. Go to tobypress.com or korenpub.com, and you'll have access to the book entitled The Long Night, A True Story. And what a story it is, to say the least. To help us examine the book and tell the story, we have one of the daughters of Ernst Israel Bornstein. Noemi Lopin is with us live from England as we explore this brand new work. Thank you so much for joining us in this forum here at the Nachum Segal Network.
Nachum, I'm deeply honored and privileged. Thank you.
I cannot even begin to figure how to tell this audience about the ordeal that your father had to endure. The statistics are tough enough. Am I right? Is it 7 or 8 concentration camps that he...
You're right. It's seven concentration camps and 5 transit camps.
And all this started when he was the age of...
Roughly 18 in 1941, but he begins the book in 1939, September 39, at the outbreak of the war when the Germans invaded Poland.
So he is a 16-year-old when that happens, and you know today, I don't have to tell you, I don't have to tell our listeners, when we think of 16-year-olds, we think of people who have lived, you know, quite a fun life, who are in the middle of their teenage years and have their entire life in front of them. And for himself...
Very much so, Nahum.
And for him, and for himself, and for so many others, and we know the statistics, for so many others at that time, it turned out to be exactly the opposite. It turned out to be quite a nightmare. Now, if he wrote this book in the 1960s in Yiddish, obviously you and his other children at a relatively young age, certainly compared to other survivor families, were very familiar with the story.
Actually, we only became familiar in our adult lives. Our father died, left us, we were very young, in 1978. I'm the eldest of 3. I was just 12, my sister 11, and my brother 7. And we grew up knowing that there was something special about my father. My mother always protected him. She herself, a hidden child in the war. And when we asked him what happened to him, he always said, "I've left you the book. When you're old enough, you will read the book."
And that was,
and so it was.
And that was it. No other discussion, no other details.
There was detail of pre-war lives, of him at school and jokes in school and stories around the Seder table with Eliyahu HaNavi, but nothing at all. And you know what, Nahum, I'm eternally grateful. I think it would have affected me as a person and as a human being. I would have been too young to take this cruelty, this brutality, words aren't great enough to describe this human torture of Nazism that took place.
Why do you think, if there was a reluctance for him to share this with family members, which I get and I understand the difference, why do you think nonetheless that he became so public in book forum with the rest of the world?
You mean now rather than then?
No, I mean in 1967. If he was reluctant to discuss it, why at that point did it finally become something he was willing to...
Oh, I see. He was reluctant, I think, purely because of our age. And I think it's very common with survivors that they don't speak to their children. They often need that distance and will talk to grandchildren, maybe, or strangers. And I think he knew, with him writing it down, that it was there for us for whenever we wanted and whenever we were ready. And I feel he was a protective, loving father, and he'd done us a great service.
Noemi Lopin is with us, a daughter of Ernst Israel Bornstein. The book is called The Long Night, A True Story, Toby Press Release, Koren Publishers. You must have learned from this book so much about your father, and I don't just mean the history. It must have given you such a sense of appreciation of his greatness, of his resilience, of the things that you knew of him only as a child, but as he was older, when you discovered the roots of all those traits.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, that for me, as his daughter, to translate that, there is this duality in my feelings that, first of all, exactly as you say, it's made me learn about the person that I loved. I was only a child, so to see my father with adult eyes and to see from adult to adult the remarkable, resilient, courageous, clever person he was is truly remarkable and gave me another chance at knowing him and being close to him and marvel at this human being for his spirit of survival. Like you say, he was only young. And like our 16-year-old kids, maybe they're more streetwise now, grew up very protected and very quickly had to rely on his own resources. And, of course, the other side of the coin is that I was also deeply pained and aggrieved to see the man that I love, my hero, I'm a true daddy's girl, suffer in such a way that it was my dad, my family, my people. There can be no greater suffering by proxy of mankind.
I can only imagine. Was it his skill? Was it luck? Was it fate? Was it his resilience? What was it that allowed him to survive the war and go through all that he went through?
I think it's all of those, Nahum. It definitely has to be multifactorial. I would love to bring God into the equation. At this point in time, even though I'm Orthodox, I cannot, because I like the famous quote when people say, where was God? And the answer is, where was man?
Yeah.
It's so true. So there was certainly luck, almost a miraculous luck, I think, those who survived. There was also, when the readers read The Long Night, the story of even kindness in this hell by Master Herman, the man in charge of my father's electric words, who shared a book, who shared his newspaper with him, who shared his sandwich with him, who let him listen to the radio. And that made my father feel human again when the Nazis so successfully managed to dehumanize him in a psychological and physical form. And I'm sure that also helped my father to survive. But the theme, recurring theme throughout the book and the angle is his will to survive, given, I think, repeatedly by his parents, once when he says goodbye so movingly to his father for the very last time at the camp gate of Grünheide. And then when he sees his mother again, delirious with diphtheria in the cattle wagons. And he says that he has to survive for his parents and for his people and to tell the story again. Because following his liberation and following his studies becoming a doctor and a dentist, he spoke yearly in Dachau. And he was also president of the concentration camp survivors, Jewish and non-Jewish, and worked tirelessly to help them psychologically, materially, with restitution, and also took down for the New York Institute their testimonies as well.
It's sometimes difficult for many of us to understand, but you have the ability, obviously, to put it in the context of history, all the movement that he went through, the different camps, the all the different situations, what he saw in all these different places. Why were the circumstances like that? Why was he not like some others who may have spent 3 or 4 years in the same place?
I think that wasn't his doing. It was a decision of the Nazis, and I think that as they got more and more Jews into the concentration camps, the places where he first was outgrew the number of the people, and they had to be moved on to camps that had more room for people. But the other more important factor is, of course, that the Nazis used them as slave laborers, and the Nazis put them where they needed them, for railways, for their factories. In fact, Krupps is mentioned, which exists to this day, as an electric company. So I think that's why the Jews got news about the Nazis used them where they needed them.
And his expertise in electricity was the skill that helped him survive?
Well, he was very daring, actually. He didn't have the real skill, and it was a gamble, and the gamble paid off. His master actually saw that he couldn't do exactly what was requested of him, but turned a kind eye to him and gave him another chance. And he had learned a little bit, but not enough to do what he needed to do there.
I wonder, and again, I'm not here to conjecture or even ask you for a guess, but I'm just mentioning that I wonder just how many people he knew in all those years who ended up being eliminated, who ended up being murdered by the Nazis. The number must have been a staggering one.
Very much so. And when you read the book, one of the heartbreaking factors is that two friends who had been through 4.5 years of concentration camps, through those 7 camps, died on the day of liberation. They were shot like rabbits. And that, I cannot reconcile my that. And that was so late. My father was only liberated on the 30th of April, 1945. And they had suffered so much. They were already nearly saved by farmers, and yet the SS were still after them and were still shooting randomly. And that is very difficult to reconcile, I understand, like you say. The losses were huge.
When he wrote the book in Yiddish, was it also called The Long Night?
That, to be honest, unfortunately, I don't know.
And why is it such an apt description? I know it sounds obvious to many, and obviously to all of us, because in fact it was a long night. But I don't know. You know, with all the titles that could have been given to this, why is it so appropriate?
I think it's appropriate because it's a beautiful metaphor, and it allows the reader to conjecture up, and it gives the reader a certain amount of freedom to conjecture up in their mind what is requested by the title. And even when they've read it, it allows them to develop the theme and the thoughts my father has. And yes, it was a long night. It was days and months and years of darkness. And I think because my father survived, the long night at least isn't terminal and isn't final. And even within that, there is some sort of spirit of survival. A night has to end sometime, doesn't it? And it did for him, thank God.
When he was liberated, where did he go?
He was liberated near Munich. He stayed in Munich till his death. He actually was given a place in San Francisco to study medicine, and I don't know enough about the story, and went to the university. And then they decided not to take him, whether they didn't have any more room or they had more Americans, and he had to go back. And then he stayed in Munich till he died in August 1978.
Ernst Israel Bornstein. The book is called A Long Night, A True Story. We're speaking with his daughter, Noemi Lopin, who is with us via telephone. It is a Toby Press release, tobypress.com. Our friends at Koren Publishers, you can go to korenpub.com for information about all of this. I noticed that the Honorable David Cameron, actually Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, I assume wrote an introduction or a portion of the beginning of the book. Am I right?
Yes, he wrote a personal letter to me endorsing the importance of Holocaust commemoration and education and the feeling for this topic. And it's that was remarkable. It's actually written to dear Noemi and best wishes, David, as personal as that. And I know that he means that because in Great Britain, he's in charge directly of a group of 6 people. They report back to him with something called the Holocaust Commission, where in 2020 they're going to build a museum and a memorial site in London.
How did he meet your mother?
My father, it was actually a shidduch. Two mutual people knew them and introduced them.
And where was she from?
My mother's from Strasbourg.
Survivor?
Which is at the German border.
Survivor or not?
My mother, yes, was a hidden child. She has her own story. She was 10 years old when she was... The Jews had to evacuate Alsace, where she's from, Strasbourg, to the south of France. And then my grandmother sent her away, in inverted commas, to a holiday camp, but it wasn't. It was to avoid the Nazis, towards the French-Swiss border. And unfortunately, they were arrested by the Gestapo, and at a place, and were imprisoned in a town called Annemasse near Switzerland. And she belonged to a convoy of 200 children, and her convoy was saved by a highly courageous lady called Marianne Conn, a 22-year-old young woman who refused to give the family names of the children and was tortured daily. And the children saw that and often heard the torture, saw Marianne's swollen face. The underground gave her opportunity to return home, But she refused. She said she will not leave these children. They've been entrusted to her. And the other hero in this story is the non-Jewish mayor of Annemasse, who, because it happened to my mother towards the end of the war, made a deal with the Gestapo. If he lets them go freely to Switzerland, into Geneva, my mother and the group of children can be saved. But my mother was interrogated at gunpoint by the Gestapo, and she didn't speak about it for many years, only actually recently.
Unbelievable. Is she still around?
She's around. She's 82. And she's going to speak in my brother's shul tomorrow night, and she's spoken today on national TV for Holocaust Memorial Day.
How old was your father when he passed away?
56.
Wow.
People thought he was our grandfather he was an old father. And what is not in the book, but what we sort of heard, was that he didn't know if he could have children or not. So I don't know exactly what happened there.
How do you explain it? I know survival has a lot of very intricate and delicate components to it. And I know, obviously, that you became somewhat familiar with his personality and a greater appreciation after you read about him, for what he was able to do and survive. But how? How do you think, the first couple of years after liberation went, that he was able to, come up with the fortitude to move forward and to, become a productive member of society, become such an important person when it comes to Holocaust memory? How did it happen when so many other people are prepared to just to wilt away after this experience?
You ask a very important question, because nowadays we hear so much of victimhood, and my father, together with other survivors, were remarkable in that they were not victims. They picked themselves up, and I must say my father belonged to a group of Polish boys who all became extremely successful, not just managed lives, but extremely successful in everything that they did. I think with my father, he certainly felt that he owed it to his parents, and there was also something known as survivor's guilt. Why did I survive and not somebody else? And I feel that they had to carry the baton forward for those that were never given a voice. But I think I must also give him credit, but that sounds terribly biased, that it is his nature and his personality. He looked after us not only in his life, but he also managed to look after us beyond his life. And he was quite a remarkable, strong, warm person. And after all the cruelties that he could treat the Germans, was their dentist. And not only that, we adopted a Catholic grandmother. I wish I could ask him, how did you? How could you?
That's unbelievable.
Hmm.
I was going to ask you about the closest episodes that he had to being murdered, to his demise. Maybe there was, sickness at some point that could have caused him to fall victim. I would assume it's all of the above. I would assume you probably have, in these accounts, tens of stories of coming face to face with death.
Very much so, Nahum. I think each chapter in each story is a miracle. But obviously, towards the end of his 4.5 years incarceration, he is truly emaciated. And I feel that even with his indomitable spirit, there is a time where he is ready for liberation, where he is tired and exhausted and is losing strength. And then that huge disappointment, the surprise that nobody, usually when we go through something terrible and we're out of it, we jubilate and we rejoice and there is the high after the low. Well, here it went from low to low. There was this void, there was this emptiness. People were repulsed by the survivors physically. They were emaciated. They were infested with lice. They were unappealing. They didn't look human anymore. He called them Muselmänner, ghost-like appearances, ghost-like in their psyche, ghost-like in their physique. And it took them years. And of course, even though eventually when they regained their weight and their stature, they were normal physically, but never the same again psychologically.
Yeah, well, that's why I wonder what I asked you earlier about, where he was after the war. I was thinking even more immediately than when he ended up in Munich. I was thinking just of those days and weeks following the war, the type of rehabilitation he had to physically go through just to get back on his feet.
Yes, I wish I don't know enough about that again. I wish I would know more. I marvel how he did it. I don't know. Together with his studies, because he had no one to support him. I know that some days he wouldn't eat. The decision would be, would he buy food or would he buy a book? I know he had a skull, which I have to this day, for learning his medical and dental studies. And he hungered for that for days, I was told. He didn't eat in order to buy this skull. There were no parents, and he had one surviving sister. She did move to the States.
He did?
And my cousin lives in the States, yeah.
What was it that he bought instead of food?
A skull, you know.
Oh,
a skull,
the
head of the skeleton.
To study medicine with?
Yes.
Book is called The Long Night, A True Story, Ernst Israel Bornstein. Noemi Lopin is with us via telephone, his daughter, as we discuss his incredible work. At what point, I mean, how recently was this translated? How recently did it become an English book?
Literally just now here in England. It's just been released last Thursday on Amazon.
Have you gotten reaction to it?
Yes, we've had reaction by, beautiful reaction by our newspaper, national newspaper, The Daily Express, by the head of Holocaust studies at University College London, who wants to use it for international Holocaust studies. So I'm sure we'll go to America with that. And also BBC and ITV.
Do you know who's responsible for the translation?
I translated it.
Oh, it is your translation. That's right. Right. It's your translation.
Yes.
So you went ahead and you decided after all these years, because I mean, it took a while.
Yes.
He wrote it in the late 60s. It's now the middle of the 2010s.
Yes.
I'm
a 49-year-old grandmother now, four grandchildren, and I started thinking about it when my youngest daughter was born. It was like a flame burning inside me that I had to impart and educate and let the general public know about the Holocaust, about what happened to our people. I feel that my father's story speaks for the 6 million, and I'm always worried that this 6 million is just a term, it becomes one, and that we must remember what it means, what happened to one person, how big on a mass scale this Holocaust was. And I'm ashamed to say that it took me courage to face up to what happened to my father. I didn't want to get the pain. I didn't want to feel it. I feared it, and then I was very ashamed of that. And eventually I did, and it took me 3 years. It was really, I call it at a housewifely rate. Once a week, I met with another gentleman who I know is sensitive to Holocaust, but who can't speak a word of German, and we battled out each sentence, because what I learned translating The Long Night is that I have to keep true to the author's language, not to lose his nuance, his sensitivity, and his way of writing. And that was a real challenge, and I hope that I've achieved that with The Long Night.
What an unbelievable project, just incredible. Noemi Lopin, the book is Ernst Israel Bornstein's The Long Night, A True Story. She translated it from the original Yiddish. It's now available, literally just came out. Go to tobypress.com. Go to koranpub.com for information about all of this. The Long Night, A True Story. Noemi, what an honor to meet you, and what you've done is simply remarkable, and the importance of works like this being available to everybody, every generation, especially our children, I'm sure you know, is vital. So congratulations.
Thank you for sharing my belief with me and giving me the platform to speak on your prestigious show, Nahum. A huge thank you.
I appreciate that very, very much. Noemi Lopin with us, The Long Night, A True Story, Ernst Israel Bornstein. Check it out, everybody. It is a Toby Press release, Koren Publishers, and just an amazing account of Ernst Israel Bornstein's life, which, as you heard, began in the concentration camps at the age of 18. World War II essentially escalated when he was 16 years old, and between 7 concentration camps and a whole host of amazing fate and under the watchful eye of the one above, he was able to survive the war. Wrote the book in 1967, now translated by his daughter. You are listening to the Nachum Segal Network. Our friends at Koren Publishers remind you that Buy the Book is on every single Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern Time. You can go to tobypress.com for information, korenpub.com, and get all the info you need regarding all these amazing authors and books that we feature during this segment here at the Nachum Segal Network. My name is Nachum Segal. KorenPub.com, TobyPress.com. Check out the latest releases from Koren Publishers on the website. And thank you for listening to the Nachum Segal Network.